Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete fill you in on their top waiver wire moves. Igor is Broadway bound, and Kovalchuk is north of the border. Are they worth picking up? DFS plays, best bets, the entire enchilada. It's the Monday edition.
What's good, everybody? Jensen, Reese, and Bender talking fantasy pucks on this Monday morning. A lot of news to get to, Robbie. Two Russian players, Kovalchuk, back on an NHL team, and a nice little call-up for the New York Rangers in net.
What's up, everybody? Hope you guys all had a good weekend. And yeah, really intriguing additions, both for the Canadians and now the Rangers making a little call-up today. So we'll have to see what that entails for fantasy.
Very intriguing. Can you give me the details, Peter?
So we were in, it wasn't even like 9 a.m., and I messaged Robbie. We added Igor Shesterkin from the New York Rangers. He's their third goalie. They're carrying three goalies at the moment for some reason, but they're going to give this kid a shot, maybe as early as Tuesday against the Avalanche, and I think this is a really interesting development because this is one of the top goalie prospects in the world for the past few years running in Russia, and now he was in Hartford, and now he's getting a shot at MSG perhaps.
Yeah. Longtime New York Rangers scribe Larry Brooks seems to think that he could start against the Avalanche on Tuesday, which, you know, I mean, that's definitely better matchups that he could face than that. But interesting nonetheless, he certainly has the accolades to trust him in fantasy. If you are in a deeper league, I recommend picking this guy up as a number three or number four bench option.
Yeah. All the respect to Larry Brooks, but I would go out on a limb here and say they do not start him against the Avalanche. I mean, really, don't you want to put him in a position to succeed here in the first start? Avalanche seems like a recipe for disaster, quite frankly.
It's also a compliment that, though, you know, kind of give the kid some confidence. Hey, we're not looking at matchups. We're looking at your skill set. Go out there against one of the top teams in the West and shut them down on home ice.
Fair enough.
But the Avalanche will be on the second of a back-to-back because they play Monday against the Islanders. Maybe a little Varlamov-Grubauer action on Monday. And then if it's Shesterkin against Francouz, that could be a nice little matchup, a winnable one. So we took the plunge on Shesterkin. We think that he could maybe emerge as the backup or timeshare. Maybe if they trade Georgiev before the trade deadline, he could be 1A, 1B with Lundqvist, maybe even take it over. So we went with the ceiling with that ad on this Monday morning.
And then we also picked up Ilya Kovalchuk, who as of today is skating on a line with Max Domi. So big things for Montreal. Like now, when I say big things, I mean big upside. But, you know, let's call a spade here. It didn't work out so well in L.A. for Ilya. So, you know, you have to know what you're doing there, picking a guy like him up. But I think in a deeper league, Pete, like we got him in, this is the same team we picked up Shesterkin on. I think it's worth it if you are in a pretty shallow waiver wire league.
I was going to say, temper the expectations on Kovalchuk, but it is worth a flyer, right? I'm going to put him on a Montreal Canadiens team that has some better players around him. And maybe, I mean, we've all been waiting for him to produce. He did not at all. With LA, worth a flyer, but expectations temper him a bit.
Yeah, he had a couple of stretches with LA where he was producing over like 5, 6, 7 games, but nothing more than that. Didn't get consistent lineup usage on the top power play or the top line. Some fans say that maybe he didn't deserve it, but really that team was kind of a sinking ship when he got there. I mean, we thought they would contend last year, but in hindsight, you look at that roster, they really don't have much other than Kopitar and Doughty. So it's not shocking at all that he fell off a cliff during his time in LA. I think maybe he gets a better shake in Montreal with this fresh start.
Agreed. And I think, you know, just from a power play point stand alone, I think you're going to look at a player that's going to get passes from Shea Weber, very productive power play player in fantasy. So that might be good if he's getting around 14 minutes per game and some power play points. It might stay fantasy relevant for the next couple of weeks until guys like Gallagher and the kind of the Drouins, the top dogs there, come back.
So usually in our Monday slot here, we have waiver wire James. Unfortunately, waiver wire James unavailable on this Monday morning. So I'm going to tee you guys up. Waiver wire, I mean, obviously, you guys believe in the rookie goaltender and Kovalchuk. Who else on the waiver wire are you dialing into right now on this Monday?
One guy that has jumped out to me, I talked about him on the network last week as an outside replacement for Gensel, is Dominik Kubalík. And the Blackhawks are back in contention, and he's been playing for the past week or two on a line with Jonathan Toews. He had 3 assists on Thursday in that high-scoring game against Vancouver, and then he had an empty net goal, I mean, which counts for something. Mm-hmm. He's second among rookies in goals. Now that Olofsson's injured, maybe he could be first when it's all said and done.
It's definitely not a bad pickup, and the best thing about Kubalik is that he's available in many, many leagues. Mm-hmm. So if the guys on the top of the list, like Patrick Hornquist, who is by far and away the biggest slam dunk waiver wire ad in fantasy, only downside there is I think he's close to 50%, if not higher than that, ownership. So yeah. Kubalik has the benefit right off the bat of a guy that you can be confident he will be available.
And Hornquist has like 25 shots in 5 games since coming back, or 26 shots, whatever it is. And he'll get even better when Crosby comes back. You think maybe they'll stick with Rust Malkin on the same line and then go Crosby and Hornquist like they've done many times in the past.
And as long as Hornquist stays healthy with his hits coverage and his power play goals coverage, that could be a top 50 finish second half season for fantasy for him.
Now, I mentioned Olofsson being out. Is there anything you're looking at for Buffalo? Because we kind of, we were a little down on them last week, but they've won 2 games since, right? They beat the Oilers and then they beat the Florida Panthers to salvage that sports day for Buffalo on Saturday.
I'm still going to take a pass here. I mean, if I were to pick up anybody, it'd be Marcus Johansson. He's been playing well. I mean, Sam Reinhart, too, has stepped up his game nice. He's got a little point streak going. Yep. But if you're looking at true rest of season value, this thing is going to end pretty quickly for Buffalo. I'm going to take a harsh stance on that because I firmly believe without more depth scoring, they're not going to be able to get it done. Now, granted, they could change my opinion at the trade deadline if they move one of their many defensemen for another forward, but I'm just not sure what the appetite there in Buffalo is for that.
I saw some rumors flying around that the Buffalo Sabres, with them still being in contention, are going to be actively involved in the trade market. You believe that? I mean, there's still some time to go, but I do believe that if they're in the mix, they have to add some players here. Agree?
For sure. They have to make a move. They probably should have made a move a month ago, but at this point, we've seen, like we saw earlier in the year, Montour playing some forward. Then we saw Bogosian. I guess Bogosian asked for a trade and then was moved to forward. So I don't know how that's going to work out or shake out. But the main thing is Ristolainen is a piece that many teams around the league would covet. And I think with the depth on defense right now, they can afford to trade him. I've kind of changed my stance on that a little bit from the beginning of the year. I've always been a Ristolainen apologist, but I think he could return a nice forward to boost their second line.
Any team that has Zach Bogosian playing forward on probably not going to stay fantasy.
Not going to make the playoffs either
for too long. So turning ahead to the defensive position, though, Sam Girard's a guy for the Avalanche that is a very safe add. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of offensive upside with this player point production wise, but plus minus good coverage, some power play points occasionally on the second unit is good coverage, and then the even strength security of having the MacKinnon, the Rantanen, and the Landeskog exposure is worth an add alone.
Right, he's not playing on the same pair as Makar like he was in the playoffs last year for their early stint of Makar in the lineup, but he's on a pair with Eric Johnson, and he's been racking up assists lately. Was he got 7 or 8 assists over his past 3 games? So I agree with you. Even when he's not scoring, he's a pretty safe option for one of the best teams out there. But when he is scoring, and when Mikko Rantanen is scoring 3 goals on like the third line or whatever their weird line combinations are, they got some crazy depth, and it would have a ripple effect on Girard even if he's on the second pair.
And the defenseman position is so utterly thin and bleak this year that I see a lot of fantasy teams, at least in my leagues, that have only got 4 defensemen total on the roster, because if you have a bench spot occupied by a D-man like as a Lindell, who's also on our list, or like Vatanen or Olimata, one of those guys that we've been talking about a little bit lately, you're not going to get a lot from those guys. You're almost better off picking up a Kubalik and kind of rotating him at wing on your fantasy squad than picking up one of these lower tier defensemen. So I just want to preface sort of by saying, before you run out to the waiver wire and make a move for a defenseman, you just have to know what the landscape of that position is this season.
Yeah, and if you see a better forward out there, it's not a bad strategy, especially for a week or two. Like in one of my leagues, I have 4 defensemen slots and 4 defensemen on my roster, and one of them is actually Klingberg, who's day-to-day, but I think I slotted him on IR Plus, and I'm rolling with an extra forward just to get some extra games in there, and forwards score more than defensemen. So it actually is a viable strategy for a short-term span.
And think about the goalie position almost the same way this year. I wouldn't mind having four goalies just because of how much inconsistency we've seen at that position. Let's look no further than the Philadelphia Flyers and Carter Hart. The Flyers, I think the definition, if you look up in Webster's, what is inconsistency? It is the Philadelphia Flyers. And Carter Hart now has fallen into the perfect mold of an inconsistent goaltender. Early in his career, he went from winning five straight to losing five straight to winning five straight to losing five straight. If you've got a guy like him in fantasy, you do need a fourth goalie option to come off that you feel a little bit stronger about off your bench than him.
Right, and some of the guys that could be available on the waiver wire, like I know I dropped one league, I have four goalies. I dropped Thomas Greiss. I broke up the Islanders tandem and picked up Ilya Samsonov. But another guy that I wanted to talk to that we haven't really talked about much at all because the Sharks are down in the dumps, but he's actually been playing well, Aaron Dell. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is the starting goalie right now, especially after Martin Jones imploded again on Sunday.
Well, that game on Sunday was an all-time classic. I recommend rewatching that one from start to finish just to get the full scope of how bad that loss was for the Sharks. And after the game, Logan Couture said, "We've literally lost in every way fashionable this season." They've gotten shut out by the Red Wings. They literally allowed, they were up 3-1 with 1 minute remaining in the third period against the Caps. They had scored an empty net goal. And then the Caps tie the game and win it in overtime with Holtby on the assist. You cannot script that.
I know, and they had two chances to win it in overtime. Timo Meier hit the post, and Brent Burns had a wide-open breakaway. Could dust it off and score if he wanted to, but he couldn't score on Braden Holtby. And Braden Holtby gets the win, allowing four goals. Good for him, but that's not a good look on the other end, I can tell you that.
Well, either way, moving forward with Aaron Dell, I know you looked up his stats before, Pete. You found that he had a .917 save percentage since December 1st.
Yeah.
And honestly, for the Sharks standards, that's very high-quality goaltending because we're normally looking in the top in the .890 range for save percentage for those guys. So anything above a .910 for the Sharks and getting some wins lately like Dell has, very much worth a flyer.
And that .917 over nine-game span, so he's gotten seven decisions in that span, and he's gotten the Sharks points in five of them, which is impressive because they've really had some bad losses to bad teams, some good wins against good teams, every which way, like you said, Couture mentioned. But yeah, Aaron Dell, he has done mop-up duty for Martin Jones. He has started some games and looked good. He's lost some games where it wasn't really his fault. Mm-hmm. But if the Sharks do turn this thing around in the second half, it's going to be Aaron Dell, not Martin Jones. I think we can say that, rest assured.
1,000% accurate assessment there. And I can tell you with certainty, Martin Jones is not capable of playing mop-up for Aaron Dell. So the tables will not be turned here. I think this is Aaron Dell's job rest of season. One guy, though, if you do want more safer peripherals, maybe less wins, but safer peripherals, look at Elvis Merzlikins, CC Dave Satriano on that one. This is a player that he was very high on. Very good save percentage, .945 over his past three games. I don't know if the Blue Jackets are going to be winning a lot of games, but that being said, I think the save percentage probably will stay above or close to a .920. That might be a safe option if you need categories.
It's amazing. The Jackets 8-1-4 in their past 13 games. They're hanging around a little bit. They're still a ways out of contention, but this is a team, if you know, that's the thing in fantasy. If you know a guy's a sure starter, full-time starter, especially with Korpisalo injured, give Elvis a go here.
So before we move to the Monday slate, anyone else on the waiver wire or you move right ahead?
Maybe, I don't know. What do you think of Corey Crawford now that Robin Leonard's injured? That team is definitely showing some offense lately, but
here we go.
I just don't really trust the guy.
No, I'm going to take a pass on that.
Pass.
Another fantasy eulogy here this year, I think in 2020 now, a new decade. Just move on, and that's not to be, you know, critical. Or I think the player's great, but look at the Hawks as a whole. Look at their defense on paper, and I just cannot, in my right mindset, recommend one of their goalies.
I was going to say, Corey Crawford, if he was on another team that maybe played a little bit more, tighter defensively.
Yeah, a thing called defense.
Right, I think he'd be okay. But on that team, when so many chances are given up, it's very tough to lean on Crawford to help you out in fantasy.
And just one last note here, it would be negligent if I didn't bring up Tanner Pearson. Guys playing like a first-round pick He's absolutely living up to that potential that we saw flashes of early in his career. Good line placement, top six for the Canucks, heavy shot volume, good goal totals lately. If you do need a bench forward, I think I would say absolute stamp of certainty, Pearson's going to be the guy.
Your pick of Vancouver at the beginning of the season is looking pretty good. That team looks like it has maybe some playoff capability, especially during this strong stretch. And yeah, Tanner Pearson giving them nice depth, good second line with Bo Horvat. And I was looking, Tanner Pearson actually has 4 games with at least 3 points this season, including a 4-point game. And he had 2 3-point games last week. So this guy can come in bunches. It's not a sexy name that you can look at and say, oh, this guy's doing wonders for me. But he has done the job, I think.
You guys haven't broken a slate down in all of 2020, so the time is now. It's a four-game slate. So ping-pong some players, DFS targets, and then we'll throw out some best bets, totals, against the grain, favorites, whatever you like.
So let's kick it off with the Auston Matthews versus Connor McDavid game tonight. Very intriguing matchup. Now, the Oilers on the road do bring some underdog appeal. The only thing that I have to caution betting on Oilers is that Mike Smith is now projected to start this game. Koskinen and him are sort of forming that 1A, 1B thing again, which I think is bad for the Oilers rest of season. Leafs have been playing great recently since Sheldon Keefe took over. I would have a real hard time ponying up any dollars for the Oilers tonight.
I'm all over Matthews against Mike Smith. You just convinced me just by saying the matchup. I think Matthews playing so well right now with Marner. He's up there among the league leaders in goals, really, since I was watching the game against the Rangers a couple of days ago, and he is second behind, Ovechkin in goals since he entered the league. Just get Matthews in your lineup, build around him. And the Oilers right now are playing McDavid and Draisaitl on separate lines. It's worked pretty well so far, but maybe comes to a screeching halt here at Toronto.
When I first looked at the slate, I thought there was some value on Edmonton. But I watched Mike Smith against the Buffalo Sabres, and the Sabres won that game.
Yeah.
And Mike Smith is just not viable. I know they're plus 180, and you take a flyer on Edmonton. But Toronto right now, they're playing so well. They're at home. Tough spot for Edmonton. I would steer clear. I would not bet Toronto because minus 215 is crazy. And I would not bet Edmonton because Mike Smith is in net, and I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with Toronto scoring. Not sure.
Maybe the over total would be more applicable to you in this case if you do want action on the game. I will say, though, just to be a little bit more patient on this Edmonton team, McDavid, Cassian, and Co., I mean, they are going to play so hard for the Canadian media in Toronto. It's every player's favorite place to play, especially for Canadian-born players. So I do think that spotlight, McDavid never likes to be outdone. So I would look for the Oilers to play a competitive game. I think it's just going to take everything that they have to squeak out a win.
That makes sense. It was a good note that Frederik Andersen didn't start on Saturday against the Islanders. They were able to give one of the best workhorses in the league a little bit of rest. Hutchinson shut out the Islanders, and then now he's going to start Frederik Andersen against the Oilers. I like Freddie here.
And Andersen started against Winnipeg. Is that correct the other night, last week? I believe he did.
And
Winnipeg had a zillion shots, and Andersen was great. That's another reason why you can't take Edmonton, is because Andersen has been great. He's winning the games. He's winning.
Isn't he, leading the league in wins?
He's right up there, if not first, maybe tied for first or second. Then we have here the New York Islanders at home against the Avalanche. The Islanders, they really haven't faced much adversity since Barry Trotz took over in terms of losing streaks. They're on one now. Is this a team in fantasy, if you've got Varley and you've got Greiss? Where do you see this team rest of season, Pete? Maybe, a little bit of a bigger scope than just their game this evening.
They're falling off. We knew they were falling off. We knew it might happen, but to get shut out by Michael Hutchinson against the team that, look at since John Tavares left the Islanders, every single time they've played the Maple Leafs, they've either won or given them, a hell of an effort to keep that game close. And they've had some dominant wins against the Maple Leafs. For them to go out with a whimper on the road against Toronto is really concerning for me. They've been changing their lines. They tried Beauvillier, Barzal, Bailey. It didn't work. A couple of those guys were -2. I'm not feeling good about them right now, and that was why I said I dropped Thomas Greiss. You'd think I would have kept that tandem for the rest of the season, but I just couldn't do it anymore.
and look at the East, and you can't even mention the Eastern Conference playoff race in the same conversation as the West, because the West is genuinely tight. It mm-hmm. always has historically been that way. The East, there's always, I don't know why it's like this, but there's always separation with those teams. So now what you're looking at the Islanders rest of the season, I am worried about that team because I think Philadelphia's better. I think Montreal's better when they're healthy, and I think Carolina's much better. So if you're the Islanders and you're hanging on for dear life in that third wild card spot, I know it's January, but you have to get some wins, and you cannot drop a game to Michael Hutchinson at this time of year. So if you're an Islanders fan, you're hoping and praying that they add some scoring help at the deadline, which probably would change my tune on this team here, but holy smokes, we could see a full implosion.
I mean, look right now, the Flyers are 49 points and the Islanders are 53.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even for Pittsburgh, look at how well Pittsburgh's
played. And Philly's lost like five straight.
Right, but look at how well Pittsburgh's played, and they're right in between those teams. Mm-hmm. So the Islanders and Pittsburgh, regardless of how well they've played to this point in the season overall, they're both at risk of missing the playoffs, like I think we both thought they might, or we both had the Islanders out. I had Pittsburgh out. It could still happen.
At least Pittsburgh has Crosby coming back.
Right. That's
yeah,
the
that's
difference.
The big thing.
That's 150 point, 115 point forward coming back.
Right. That's the difference between the two teams, is that, you know, Pittsburgh has sustained or have kept their heads above water with their best player, the best player in the league still, yeah. quite frankly, mm-hmm. out of the lineup. The Islanders, they don't have any guns coming in. Unless Lou makes a trade, which I've said throughout the year that they're going to make a trade, I just don't know if they're going to be able to get a huge difference maker. Well, right, who's the guy?
There isn't a guy.
Right, there isn't.
And they lost Adam Pelich. I mean, is it Pelich?
Pelich, I think.
Okay, so Pelich goes out, and I'm asking Pete, like, first of all, who is this guy? But I guess it turns out that he's one of their best defenders on the team. He's like a top-pairing guy, and now he's out, torn Achilles, he's out for the rest of the season, and it just goes to show, losing a guy like that who, you know, name value isn't so high, all of a sudden the bus is going off the cliff.
And he's really important to the team. I mean, in the scope of things, it's not like they lost a Jake Gensel or a Sidney Crosby or a Mikko Rantanen or a Gabriel Landeskog like some of these other teams have. They lost Pelich.
So yeah,
it's crazy that he means that much to that team, and they will miss him for sure.
For sure they'll miss him, and they have missed him. Here's the deal. I trust Lou. There might not be a big name like a Taylor Hall out there, mm-hmm. but I trust that Lou, I would think this year he would bring in some players to give them a better shot in the playoffs. Now, those players might not be big names, but we all know Barry Trotz. We know Lou. They plug him into the system, and then we're sitting there in April saying, wow, what a pickup that guy's been for the Islanders. So in Lou, I trust. In Barry, I trust. But right now, the goal scoring has dried up for the Islanders. And if you're an Islanders fan, you need to see some more goal scoring and a player that can come in and make a difference offensively.
Agreed. Montreal tonight, -145 against the Jets. That's kind of surprising considering that Montreal's banged up. Kovalchuk should make his debut on this one, so for the Canadian viewers, tune in for that. I think the general pulse on this game, I do like Montreal. I do like a nice response game from Carey Price. Let's hope that that comes true, which would mean, Pete, Winnipeg, not looking so good now for them in the second half of the year here.
Yeah, Winnipeg is coming down slowly but surely. They might miss the playoffs. They might just get in, but I think they'll probably miss. But in this game, I do like Winnipeg as such a big underdog. I don't really understand it. I know there's the Kovalchuk factor, but you mentioned it. Drouin is out. Gallagher is out. Even another guy, Armia, is out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first game jitters. First game might take some time for Kovalchuk to mix in on the power play especially. So, yeah, give me the Jets as a -145 underdog.
And I'm pretty heated over
this. +145.
Just right. Because I do like the Canadiens a lot. I just like watching that team. I think it's the best rink in the National Hockey League. But when you have a situation where you're bringing in Kovalchuk, I know it's low risk, but come on. I mean, like, where's the big move for that team? Where has it been for the past 3 years? I could get a jersey. Yeah, if I was a fan of the Canadiens, I would get a jersey and put the number 8 on it and then put the name as cap space, because they have $8 million in cap space. What are they waiting for? Like, they have plenty of opportunity to make a move, but get a big-time player in there, and then we're not going to be sitting here debating whether Ilya Kovalchuk, who's 36 years old, is going to have a strong finish for that team.
Be patient with Bergevin. He said be patient. They're not going to mortgage the future just to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I trust Bergevin.
Well, okay, easy. I mean, I can talk about this all day because I feel strongly
about
it.
I know you do.
It's just it's too good of a market to not have in the playoffs.
Very, very true. When I look at this game, My eyes immediately went to Winnipeg. For it sure. might be a trap, and I'll tell you why. 67% of the money is on Winnipeg, but the line is going up in favor of Montreal. I think they opened up like minus 125 or so. Now they're in the minus 150 range. Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Just be aware of it because it's almost too good to be true. Winnipeg, such big underdogs. Oh, I'm going to take Winnipeg. And then you see the Canadians 4-1. Carey Price is great. Canadians win at home. Just be aware.
I want to see a game from Cook and Niemi because when I was watching World Juniors, all I could think of was back to Brady Tkachuk, who was available in the number three hole, but they opted for the draft by position instead of draft by best player available. Wow, Brady Tkachuk would look pretty good in a Habs sweater right now.
Yeah, and Nick Suzuki has looked a lot better than Cook and Niemi. I think we could both agree on that and maybe overshadowing it a little bit, but for sure that looks like a number three pick blunder right now.
I cannot appreciate the spears that Rob Reese is throwing right now at Mark Bergevin. Me and Mark are very tight. I see him at the GM meetings.
You see him at the gym
year.
Too. He's jacked.
You know, Bergevin is one of the funniest guys in the league. I do not appreciate Robbie Reese, and I know he loves the Canadians. All right, he loves these. He loves the Canadians, the Flames, and the Leafs. I don't understand it,
yes.
But he does. He loves these Canadian teams. He's a Canadian homer. But do not disrespect my boy Mark.
I mean no disrespect like to any player or team. It's just I really like that team, so it's out of love that I'm kind of giving them a tough ride and hoping, because I picked them to make the playoffs, so I'm hoping that they make it.
One last question for you, Rob, before we get to our DFS lineups. Do you trust Semyon Varlamov at home at the Coliseum against his former team? I think it's a great narrative, and I think he's going to get the win personally.
Well, you know what? It's a good feeling because every time we kind of talk down on the Islanders thinking this could be the time the wheels fall off, they rally for a big win, and Varlamov would be the guy in DFS. The price is going to be right because they are playing an elite opponent in the Avalanche. You know, these road trips in New York are a little bit tough. I mean, the guys like playing here for a good reason. That might be a factor for the Avalanche tonight. Oh, by the way, look up the TMZ clip of Nathan MacKinnon, the funniest thing in the world. MacKinnon goes to the TMZ reporter. He's like, you guys don't even know who I am. Like, I'm not even famous enough for this. Very humble guy. You love to see that from Nate, one of the top players in the game. So
That's great. Like
a little appeal for the Islanders tonight, but I would not roster any goalie against Nate MacKinnon.
I think the Islanders win tonight. Everyone is on Colorado. The line is going up. You're going to get the Islanders at plus money at home. Coliseum, Varlamov in net, desperate for a win. Barry Trotz. The more and more I talk about it, I want to put $25,000 on the Islanders.
Okay, wow.
I wouldn't go that far.
Mortgage
but yeah, I think Semyon Varlamov has been great on the road. Couple of home blunders lately, like they lost to the Ducks at home with him in net. They lost to the Devils at home with him in net. I think he's due for a home bounce back. Those fans have been too good for him to keep losing these home games.
Well, with that being said, I already sense the frustration when they can't score a goal tonight at the Coliseum, and Colorado puts three up, and you know right away
that's true,
the
yeah.
Islanders can't muster up enough offense to stick with Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm saying all this, $25,000 on the Avalanche.
That was a quick backup. I mean, literally.
Listen, I would take the Islanders tonight. Obviously not for that much money or even near that much money. It was a joke for everyone listening. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GET-HELP. And away we go.
So to do some DFS here tonight, my advice would be to look at a game that does not have the appeal as those three previous ones. I'm looking at the Blue Jackets-Kings game. I think there's a lot of value here. Definitely at the defense position with Werenski scoring goals like a forward lately. So look at that. Also look at the Kings, though. Kopitar, very elite center value this year. He's putting up a ton of points, averaging 13 FanDuel points per game. So if you can stay up till 10:30 Eastern time, that's probably a good bet for you.
So Werenski, 19 points in his past 19 games. That's forward-type numbers for sure, like you said. One guy for the Oilers that I would target in DFS, I like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I picked him up in one of my leagues, a versatile forward, now playing wing with Draisaitl and Kyler Yamamoto. Yamamoto's another guy with really good DFS value if you think the Oilers could spring the upset on the red-hot Maple Leafs. Zach Hyman for Toronto, I think with the exposure to Matthews, who I'm building my lineup around for sure, and Marner is a really good pick as well. And then for the Islanders, I think on defense in that game in general, whether it's Sam Girard, who's hot like we mentioned, or like a Ryan Pulock, is going to get involved in whatever little offense they will provide. So I think those two defensemen, good value, bargain bin. And then to answer the big question on this slate, yes, I would roster Ilya Kovalchuk. for his Habs debut, if it happens against the Jets, because as much as the Jets have been scoring goals lately, they've been allowing goals lately as well. Hellebuck hasn't been quite as good as he was earlier in the year.
And he's only $3,000 in FanDuel, so that is right. There's not a lower price to be found with a starting player, so
let's go.
Absolutely roster him. Just to recap here, I am going to go with a Matthews McDavid strategy again. I just, it makes it more fun for me to watch that game knowing I've got those guys going. So Matthews, nice. McDavid, Kovalchuk. D, I'm going Werenski, as I mentioned, just, you know, absolutely ridiculous numbers there. And then goaltender tonight is probably the hardest one to predict. And on a four-game slate, you need a winner. So if you ask me, who do I feel most confident in getting the W tonight? I know this sounds a little bit crazy, but I'm going with Carey Price.
Fair enough. I will go with Varlamov. I'm going with some of the storylines tonight. Varlamov as my goalie against his former team and Kovalchuk in my lineup. Against, I guess, technically his former franchise, too.
Oh, nice. Right? That's right. Back to the Atlanta days.
Now, I don't have very strong feelings on this slate as far as sides or totals, but if I were to put any lettuce on the games, I would put a shekel on the Islanders. I explained why earlier. Mm-hmm. I would look at the Montreal Canadiens. I don't love the price being so high, but I do think, for whatever reason, the way the line movement is occurring, I would think about a shekel on Montreal. And I think that Edmonton-Toronto over is calling to me. But that's
Mike Smith.
That's kind of where I'm leaning as I look at the slate.
I think Edmonton-Toronto over. The Leafs could get there themselves. And then if the Oilers start scoring, it'll definitely get there. So I like that pick. I'm on board with that. I do like the Islanders since I picked Varlamov. And the Jets just have good road appeal, especially being big underdogs.
I'm not a Monday night gambler, never have been. I just, the slates are always a little bit wacky on Mondays, so, you know, air of caution to that. Yeah, the only bet I would take tonight or look at would be the Canadians. Just, I just want to see a good performance with Kovalchuk in the lineup and maybe a statement game from Carey Price.
Good stuff. So for Bender, Reese, Jensen, we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening.
Four show week, everybody. Be aware.
Four show week.
Yeah, we're back. Full force. Subscribe. Listen. Tell your friends. We always appreciate it. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday for NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks.